You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Take their job seriously, but don't take themselves too seriously.
That's the key. That's the key.
So true.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hans is here. Got the heroes, Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. And it is officially a new year. Same old show.
Nothing's changed.
For better or worse. This is the show. This is what we do. And we're going to give you what you expect.
This is a show right here. It's not about the football. It's just the guys chopping it up.
If you were hoping for changes, we made none. And there probably are a fair amount of
now, if you want listeners, and please let us know via whatever channels you can, for us to pull like a Radiohead and completely reinvent our sound in our second decade, we can try it. I just imagine it would maybe not. It's more likely that we do not produce, you know, OK Computer.
Yeah.
It's more likely Kid A doesn't. You're more likely to get Amnesiac than Kid A. So be careful what you wish for. Not that there's anything wrong with Amnesiac, but, you know.
I think we're being transparent. Our creative wellspring is challenged.
Absolutely. You know who else is being challenged right now? Eagles fans. Speaking of, happy birthday to Colleen Wolfe. This would be the show she's typically on, but, you know, we got to give Connie a little her space. Yeah. Let Connie be Connie.
Yeah.
Because we say Summer of Connie, but it's really, Connie's whole life is kind of a reality show that just doesn't have cameras around, except for when she's connected to the NFL. So Connie's doing something for her birthday. So we just want to wish.
I think she's traveling.
I thought she was like on an island or a foreign place.
Yeah, I'm going to let Colleen be wherever she is.
Got you.
And we wish you a happy birthday, Colleen. You're a great person and a great Eagles fan. Mm. So Connie, like so many other Eagles fans, absolutely a shot to the gut on New Year's Eve when you lose at home to the Cardinals. And their whole season is now kind of upside down. And that means there's only one thing to do. Like, how bad does this get? And that's why we're bringing back potentially the greatest segment we have.
It's undefeated.
Certainly the one that has the most kind of respect inside and outside the industry. Flashpoint Focus. Happy New Year to Sydney Carlson. Mm.
If she celebrates.
Some might say, is this too late for a flashpoint for the Eagles? They've been heading on a downward
trajectory. Well, I asked you that on text.
Yes. Well, that was the sum. I suggested this one, trying to get the upgrade for co-producer credit. No. Suggesting the second, you know, this is two in a row. Could this change even more? Could it change in a way that the whole organization is different in a couple of weeks?
He's so strange in some ways. Some ways, Greg's a very strange man. He so badly wants to be part of the brain trust on this project that he's thrown in that line that I've thought of the last two. Like,
I mean, I'm not trying to be part of it. It's just like I'm part of it.
We are being nice to let you feel involved on this.
Yeah.
Because what Mark's instinct was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
If we did this after the Nick Sirianni is shouting at the Chiefs fan game, then it's a true Flashpoint focus. So we're just kind of throwing you a little New Year's bonus.
Or that's the basic way to look at it, and we could see one of the most successful organizations in the entire NFL completely different in a couple weeks.
So, and again,
right, but
we would
still have been ahead.
It's no, because I don't know. We're talking about the future of Sirianni.
I don't know if Greg understands it though, Mark. The basic way. Why the daggers always? Why?
It's good content.
That's the Greg experience, I believe.
Because there is a way. At you're time. Right, and the reason why it ends up getting greenlit and pushed through legislation is that if this is the beginning of something horrific. Within the within Eagles Nation context.
But there is a fair amount of pressure on Greg for disaster to strike the Philadelphia.
Which
area.
I'm not looking for that.
Think about that.
I like this team.
Because he loves the Eagles. He's got a buddy that works at the team.
He does Super Bowl dinners with
where's Greg? Oh, he's with his Eagles buddy. So now in a way you're celebrating their dysfunction. It's the organization he works for.
They're in a fascinating place right now. And
now let's bring it back to business.
And I'm just a showman. You guys asked for a showmanship. Stirred up the pot.
Well, we haven't.
With my executive producers and with the show.
Well, you're doing great. You're doing great. What did we decide? He's the gaffer?
I don't need a gaffer is, belongs to a union and has actual skills gaffing. So I'm not.
All right, let's get to the rest of the show. We're going to run out of time before Bo gets in here. We got a big guest.
See, now he's trying to run the show. Just take it easy, Greg. We're proud of you. It's going to be a great segment today. We got a lot coming on. Here's what else is going on. We're entering week 18, and it's not exactly a hot butt check-in in the sense of like the preseason or even midseason, but let's just see where we're at. It's where the, and it could be coaches, GMs, coordinators, quarterbacks, who has kind of the most at stake in these last, the last dying breaths of the regular season. But first, as we always do, let's get caught up on the news.
I've got controlled fury and I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely ready to go. I don't go the other way. So, and the team won't either. We're on a mission and we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves and wallow in everything. We had plays to make. We didn't make them. And it's a tight game, a good opponent, playoff type atmosphere. And you got to make that one extra play that we didn't. And so we will use this as fuel. I got pure octane right now. I woke up. I'm ready.
I love it. Hey, you know what? Like the last, I think it was Dave Cohen's is the last NBA player coach. You can't tell me Campbell wouldn't be somewhat efficient as a player with the intensity he has. He's obviously in great physical condition. I believe our Lions defense that could probably need a couple more guys to get him over the hump and to hoist the trophy. Get Campbell on the field for the rest of the year.
I'd have no problem with that.
Dave Cowens, great guy. The hard knock stuff where Campbell, couldn't he not move for two straight days because he was like bent over funny or something? Remember that?
Yeah, getting old's a bitch, but I just think, I mean, he's awfully
tough. Those blocking
impressive.
Tight ends, yes.
Let's get to it. Yes, he was initially, his head coaching journey, Dan Campbell, began with the Dolphins when he replaced Joe Philbin. The Dolphins, man, what a setback. And their head coach, Mike McDaniel, deserves a lot of scrutiny because Bradley Chubb, who is a huge difference maker on their defense, who is just kind of hitting the stride as the player who they thought they were getting in that big trade with Denver. He's done for the year because he tears his ACL late in the blowout loss to the Ravens. So you're going to now have to go the rest of the way without Chubb. They also are not going to have Xavier Howard on the field for this AFC East Championship game against the Bills. So this is obviously a big setback for this team, Greg. What does Chubb do? What does he mean to their defense? How do they overcome his loss?
He's their best edge rusher. He's having the best season, I think, of his career, even better than any season he had in Denver. Maybe there was one early one. But the way he was coming on and essentially making you feel like, okay, we lost Jalen Phillips, the top 10, 12 edge rusher in the league, but we still got a good enough group with the two defensive tackles and Chubb. And now Chubb's gone too. And McDaniel, who's so forward thinking, so many things frustrated me with the way he was playing his starters here. Like that's the number one thing when I run my team, the two things on my platform going to be,
why are we going back down this fictional road where you're now ahead?
No timeout. Well, no, this is more of it's the front office. It's
okay.
It's I'm telling the coaches what to do. No timeouts allowed. just take in the for a delay to avoid a delay a game, just take the 5 yards, no timeouts. And starters are not playing when you're down three scores or up three scores, period, in the final 10 minutes.
I mean, because it's like Mike McDaniel has been beyond critique because of all the positives. But Brandon Staley a year ago, Mike Williams is in a game late and they lose him for the playoffs. And that was a huge, without Mike Williams, like that Chargers offense, imagine, it's not the same thing. Like,
Mike McCarthy does this with Micah Parsons.
Absolutely.
People would be over the moon. They'd be apoplectic about it. But, you know, he's banked a lot of goodwill for a good reason. But this is inexcusable that he was ever on the field.
Mike McDaniel did acknowledge, like, in so many words in the press conference, like, yeah, that doesn't look good. Like, you know, I don't know if you're the head coach sometimes, like, you can't take everyone out.
The thing is, though, every coach does this. It's very rare that this is a groupthink for all the coaches,
right,
that I really think they get wrong. And you really hurt for Chubb, whose career completely changed when he tore his ACL the first time. And it took him a long time to get back to where he was. I really feel like it took him like 3 years and he got there. And now this happened.
But you're right, Mark. You can't take everybody out, but you kind of can. You got to take the stars out. You got the guys that are the ones.
This stands out as like the
true difference maker.
And you know, with the matchup coming up against Buffalo, Tua's got a banged up shoulder. You don't have Howard. I mean, this could make a huge difference at the most critical time.
Where's the Vegas at on that game? Because part of me thinks Miami is going to be. Are they at home, first of all? Where is that?
They are.
It's in Miami.
I believe the Bills are favored by 3.
Miami.
I was going to say, if it felt like that, it would be in that zone. I like Miami's chances, but this is, you cannot overlook how important Chubb is to their pass rush, and we'll see if they're able to overcome it. In other news, Mason Rudolph is going to continue as the starter of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rudolph, who has, you know, been with the team for years, and it kind of drifted into the deep background, but due to injuries and ineffectiveness with Kenny Pickett and then Mitch Trubisky, he got his chance and they're playing well, winning the last 2 weeks. So Tomlin says he will remain the starter, even with Kenny Pickett available to play, the former first round pick. So this is Rudolph's the biggest moment of his career coming up in week 18 against the Ravens.
I mean, the Steelers offense was unwatchable. Like wire to wire, even taking Matt Canada out outside of one game, and in comes Rudolph throwing for 274 on Seattle, 290 against the Bengals, and I think it matters.
Average 11 yards per attempt last.
He's incredible, and he looks like a completely different version of the player that we used to know. And George Pickens in 2 weeks has 11 catches, 326 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And it matters how it's happening. They have an explosive element to their passing game, which was missing all year. Joe Flacco already has more touchdowns than Kenny Pickett did. Kenny Pickett like refused to throw touchdowns.
11 yards per attempt, only one turnover.
I think he tried, but he wasn't good at it. Yeah,
intellectually.
This feels worth at least just noting, because Kenny Pickett's being benched here very clearly, and he lost the job due to an injury, which is unfortunate. But he is being benched, which is a big moment, I think, when you're a quote unquote franchise quarterback. I think it raises absolutely fair questions about whether he's the quarterback there moving forward.
You kind of get 2 years, and by the end of that second year, if it's not clicking, you are vulnerable, and Pickett certainly is. It'll be interesting to see, no matter how this season ends, where they go, because I don't think they see Mason Rudolph as the future. They like him, obviously, to have him around this long, but Pickett, you know, they just have not been able to get it going with him. Let's talk about, big app for rest stop. Let's hit a little rest stop. You know, rest stop has their layers. There could be too much rest, not enough rest, and then just the idea of guys not playing, which they call rest.
And now he's taken over Flashpoint. Like, it's the need for the external power is impressive.
Well, you created this one. I didn't. I'm not.
I'm just going down.
I have no producer credit on this. I'm just talent.
Well, I would say you definitely are the motivation for this segment. And Christian McCaffrey out week 18 for the Niners. They've already clinched everything. He was banged up last week, but I don't imagine it's serious. We'll find out down the road. Lamar Jackson, unlikely to play as well for the Ravens. We'll see what else they choose to do. Baltimore has also clinched everything. We're going to get to the Eagles in a second, but Nick Sirianni said he may sit his starters Which
it's interesting because they have a chance to win.
I know that kind of threw me.
Is there a time element to that? No, everybody's playing pretty much at the same time, right?
I mean, they would need like the, I think you're factoring right. in like
let's
Dallas
save
playing
that.
The Commanders.
Let's save that. Let's,
well, yes, that's a major
Wolf.
A major factor.
And yeah, we mentioned Dan Campbell. Of course, Dan Campbell will play starters. He don't care. Campbell just wants to win ball games every single week. Any thoughts on that, man?
Now, sometimes they say that early in the week, and then you get to the end of the week, and you hear, okay, it's a plan. We're going to play Jared Goff for two drives. Maybe not. I believe Vegas thinks they're playing. This is always a very strange Vegas week. I put the words in that Lamar is probably not playing just based on the tone of what John Harbaugh said, but he didn't actually say anything, and that really will help the Steelers. Those darn Steelers, they're going to sneak in somehow, aren't they? I mean, it's not even somehow. They just need
gotta give them credit.
Need the Dolphins to win, and they need to beat the backup Ravens, which isn't a guarantee. Sometimes those backups go ahead and win the game. It's happened before to the Steelers, in fact.
There's this like the debate around the resting thing too with the Ravens specifically is like they've done this before and it ended up poorly in the playoffs. And I remember like those old Peyton Manning teams that one time they sat everyone and lost like the final Sunday night game to the Titans or something like that. And it prevented a Browns team that had won 10 games from going to the playoffs. And so I always sort of hated that move. And I think there was the year that the Bengals sat everyone against the Jets got into the playoffs, played them the next week, and thumped them. So it's like, this stuff does matter, but I don't know if it matters with this Raven. It's not specifically more attuned to this Ravens team.
And the one Colts team with Manning that finally got through was not a great Colts team. They had to play wild card weekend. They weren't a top two seed.
And finally in the news, the Jets waived Dalvin Cook, the running back who signed for a fair amount of money right before the start of the season from the Vikings. He was seen as another piece of a potential championship run for my team. Not the case. He asked out, and the Jets said, all right, if you can find someone that wants to pick you up and maybe go for a playoff run. Tom Pelissero reported this and added the dynamic playmaker has, quote, fresh legs after minimal usage in New York and can now compete.
Is that a report? Do we know that?
The dynamic playmaker has fresh legs. That, I feel like that's refutable, but it did come from an insider, so
Hellraiser.
Take that as
infallible. Infallible.
I believe he has the most carries, and it's not that many this year. What does he got? 67. Of any running back that has not broken a 15-yard gain.
Yeah.
So just that would refute it somewhat.
I would say that
someone's going to need like a running back to be kidnapped by a van.
It could
go,
actually. He's not a crazy pickup for the Cowboys at all. I think one of the reasons they don't.
Are you guys? You guys know how it goes with my team. He's going to get picked up by someone, and he is going to be a major factor in the playoffs, and we're all going to have a great old laugh about it all across the football media landscape.
They got out of the money part. A big that is good for the Jets.
A good old laugh everyone's going to have when Dalvin Cook rushes for 168 yards and three touchdowns for some team in January.
I don't think you're getting those laughs. You're getting the laughs from the Cook deal to begin with. I thought that was a good move, and within 3 weeks, I no longer thought it was a good move.
He was not moving very well. There's no doubt about it. All right, that's what's happening in the news. Mark, come on now. I know you root for a successful team now, but this is how it goes. This is how it goes.
I get it. I don't know if everyone hates your team at that much. I don't want to laugh.
It's not about hating the team. The Jets are fun to laugh at. I can concede that.
Say this is less gag worthy than some of the stuff that's occurred to them this season.
By the way, Greg, I was during our rest stop app, which was a good app, I thought. Good app of rest stop. I like to tag the rest stop with. Yeah, when we get off the rest stop and get back on the highway.
I thought that I contributed to it as well this time.
Very nice.
I appreciate it.
Well, what happens? What happens when I do that?
You get a little royalty check.
Is the rest stop drop on like page 9? I always feel like we're waiting for the rest stop for a little too long. There it is.
Tough on his producers.
It's one of the ones where it's not a... There's a point. I can't fit it in. I don't want to jump on you guys, and you know, I don't
drop
know.
It in there.
Okay,
because the rest stop needs its right. mechanic.
I think one that's of these shows, of one it. Of us should like sit there on the soundboard and have to.
That's
dial
coming this offseason. Eric and I are switching.
It sounds
spots.
Like an absolute nightmare.
I've done it before. We've done that app before. I've been behind the glass once before.
Well,
do you not recall that?
I don't recall our show from Sunday night, so I don't know.
All right. I've been thinking about it, Greg, and you're right. You have been putting in the work on Flashpoint Focus, and it's you're due for a promotion. And I looked up on Wikipedia, television crew. And I think, what do you think, Mark? Coordinating producer.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like broad. You could sell that to your friends.
That's
good.
Tell them what you're doing
any way you want.
When you get the CP title here, that's a nice promotion for a lot of great young hardworking producers at the NFL. So that's a nice.
You think, or line producer? What do you think?
That was good.
I'll let you decide.
I'll think about that.
Okay, get back to us at the end of the episode.
I don't like Greg's tone in general.
I feel that too.
Around this whole thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I'm inclined to go to start him lower, just to get really get that experience from the.
Should we, near the floor. I see what you're saying. So maybe we should bust them down to supervising producer.
That sounds more
important. My one IMDb credit right now calls me additional crew on the.
That feels good.
On the Bravo non-hit significant others.
Let's start there.
I love that
additional
part of your
crew.
All right. We're going to bust you down to additional crew, but it's also a jump up from assistant to the gaffer. So we.
Tell them you're an AC.
An AC. All right, let's, by the way, before we get to our buddy Bo Wolf covering the Eagles and doing a great job at allphilly.com, let's do a little hot butt check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Entering week 18, where do we want to start? We'll start with the coaches. I just want to, just to kind of get this where it needs to be, there's only one absolute goner, right? It's Ron, right? Like, he's the one that is either it happens right after the game's on Sunday, or it's the first name you hear on Black Monday.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only one left because we've lost a few coaches already.
We can some
three have been fired
over at once.
Three gone. That would be Reich. That would be
Brandon Staley.
Staley, and that would be Josh McDaniel. So those guys who felt like Black Monday goners were already kicked to the curb, and I think Rivera is the last one standing that you know is gone. Is there anyone else starting with the coaches here that you guys are pretty confident are gone, or things calm down a little bit where there's no one else?
Yeah, I was writing these down and thinking the over-under is now maybe 6.5, which is normal, maybe even lower than average. So we're only to 4 there with Rivera. Belichick, to me, feels all but certain. I would be very surprised. I know there's been some talk in recent weeks of what he would accept, Bill, in terms of restructure and who's picking the players. I just don't see it. I just think it's been going this way the whole time, and I do think he's a close to a definite.
That decision feels like we'll learn that it was. There's been reporting to suggest like this was already going to happen. They knew, so I'm with you on that. There was some positive stuff around Arthur Smith, but if they were to flatline this week too, like you were saying on Sunday night, maybe the owner makes a change there. Because what is the vision?
Well, that's a coach off right there. Dennis Allen versus Arthur Smith.
I was thinking, we said it midseason when we did a hot butt check in our first one of the year, that the entire NFC South felt up for grabs, and then Reich goes, so there's one gone. I think Bowles is safe just because they have had really sustained levels of success this
year. What if he just loses to the Panthers?
That's what I mean. Yeah. So I wouldn't say he's in the clear. I think Bowles is certainly on the bubble entering week 18. Arthur Smith and Dennis Allen, if they're not, they should be. I know Steve Wyche, who used to work with the Falcons, he's plugged in. He was very confident a few weeks back that Smith was staying, but I don't know if something has changed with Arthur Blank, the owner, since then. We did get that NPR reporting on Blank, if you recall, a couple weeks.
Which I thought was strong.
Very strong.
I mean, it was directly from the owner.
Strident journalism, yeah. I called it.
Well, they lost by 20.
Silver Fox, gentlemen, getting the info.
They lost by 20 to the, since then, they've lost by 20 to the Bears, and I can't remember if he was on the show before or after they lost to the Panthers. But then losing, if it's, let's say, a bad loss to the Saints here, you're 7-10, you're not improving your win-loss. In your three seasons, your third season is supposed to be when the vision comes to the fore. Here is their rank in overall efficiency, according to DVOA.
This is going
to
be gross.
His first year, 30th. Okay, he took over a tough situation. Second year, 19th. Nice improvement. Third year, 28th. You're the fifth worst team in the NFL right now.
And
in your third year.
And packed into that was this idea that you were going to develop Desmond Ridder. And, a lot of suspicion around that to begin with. But you're an offensive coach. That didn't happen. And I would argue these days, like, with Mike McDaniel, with Sean McVay. Like, it isn't 3-year rebuilding plans. It happens quick. With some teams, it just happens. And I mean, I thought we were more on the Arthur Smith thing than made sense looking back now, but it seemed like they were going to flip the switch and you get Bijan Robinson and like they're unwatchable.
To me, they're worse than their record indicates. They could be very easily be a 5 or a 4-win team.
Right.
With which, a harder schedule.
Which Arthur Smith's like, well, we're not because of the coaching.
Or because he had the easiest schedule ever, but losing to the Saints. On the flip side, like, I know Dennis Allen's supposed to be safe now. They're coming off a big game. But if it just flips and you get swept by the Falcons, your biggest rivalry, your rival and your home and the fans are booing, I don't know.
It might seem strange
to base
one Sunday on such a huge personnel and team decision. But with these guys, I think they're right on the bleeding edge. By the way, NPR PBS coverage, a joint coverage of NFL personnel movement. You know what I would call it? No frills, hard hitting journalism.
Well, that's what it is. So we always respect that.
Also, I'm going to put a name out there. Well, Mike Vrabel's floating. We could talk about him. But I really think it's, and this one feels more silly, and I was on this last week, Antonio Pierce. I think with the Raiders and with that particular owner, I almost feel like that's going to decide who do they have in Week 18, the Raiders.
They have the Broncos at home.
Like, home against the Broncos in a game that means nothing in terms of the playoffs. I kind of get the feeling Mark Davis is going to make his decision as head coach based on the result of that game.
I think so, too. And I think like there is an argument for Antonio Pierce compared to what they were before him. But I think a lot of it is like the literal owners said, like, I should have hired Bisaccia after what he did. So
that
it's
also
like,
doesn't mean you should. But Bisaccia also took them to the playoffs.
These owners, like, they're not all equal. And like Mark Davis has done a lot of things that would make you shake your head.
He's 4-4. This would put him at 5-4. They've been good at home, where they really have a nice crowd there. A nice rate.
Players love him.
So yeah, I think you're right, Dan, that this could emotionally, we just have seen it so many times. So he's someone I think that could come or go depending on this game.
I think moving to quarterbacks, I think.
I have one.
Oh, go ahead.
Surprise. Well, we can talk Sirianni with Bo Wolf. But that was part of the reason
triple question mark.
There, worthy question. Sirianni. Okay.
It's like and, Sirianni?
Flus, you know, Eberflus feels safe. You know, they're playing the Packers. In all these games, like if you got blown out, it's like, okay, if you got blown out at the end of your season, could Eberflus go? And then I think the name I haven't seen out there a lot is Pete Carroll. They have one of the worst defenses in the league. They've a bottom five defense. He's a defensive coach. They've had a below average defense for 7 straight years. If they lost back-to-back games to the Steelers and the Cardinals to lose the season and you're just stuck in the middle again, it's very confusing what the ownership situation is there. When things were getting a little thorny 4 weeks ago, there were some whispers about Schneider and Carroll maybe not on the same page and like some pointing fingers. So I just don't lose to the Cardinals. And I feel like they could very well lose to the Cardinals. If you lose to the Cardinals, I think maybe anything is on the table.
Okay. I mean, but again, that's why some of this is hard for me to wrap my head around. That.
I'm so freaking jacked. I'm so freaking jacked. Yeah,
that was like 2 weeks ago. And I think Pete, he's still got he has a track record. He's still youthful, at least in spirit and in body. And I think that if you give him better players on defense and maybe
they're all his
better
players and they've spent so many resources.
Schneider, don't fire Carroll because I think he's a good head coach. Give him better players and maybe
we got to hire someone better too. Like it depends who becomes available. In some of the
I hear all that, but I just think when you're a defensive coach and you just don't have answers, and there's 2 guys in your divisions who hand it to you 4 times a year, and you're kind of using stale thinking because you could say get better players. Who is the draft picks, free agency? They spent a lot on that defense to be really bad. That's all.
Right.
What if?
How about a defensive coordinator that you let him call the plays?
They've been rotating through. They've been rotating through. They've fired 3 or 4 because their defense has been bad.
Different locations.
I just think it's one to throw out there.
What if the Bills got blown out by Miami and then there's a bunch of negative energy and stuff happening? Is Sean McDermott 100% safe? I don't think so. I think Sean McDermott is someone.
A grizzly blowout?
Like, I'm just saying, like, if, like, all these teams we're talking about, and we'll get into with the Eagles. A month ago, everything with the Eagles was looking wonderful. And Nick Sirianni was this guy that everyone from Philly responds to, X, Y, and Z. And like McDermott had that one little incident. Like he's been great overall, but it's almost like that doesn't matter. These things always sort of end badly.
They just won their 10th game. I would say he's 98% safe.
It seems like a super surprise to me if it would happen, but like I feel like we get one of these surprises. It also just
depends. That's
why
I want to
like,
throw out Carroll. I was trying to think of who would be a surprise, and he would make sense to me if they lose. And I kind of think they're going to lose. Wink Martindale, by the way, just as a coordinator, I do feel like this will be his final game after that Glazer report and pretty lackluster performance.
And yeah, Joe Barry is probably finally coaching his final games with the Packers, but we'll see how the end of their season goes. Yeah, I'll throw a quarterback out there. Justin Fields, like how the year ends for Fields. I think he's already put enough on tape in the back end of the season, in my opinion, that they should keep riding with him. But with the fans calling for him to stay and with play, the locker room backing, they want Fields back. If he has a big game to close the season, I feel like the Bears are going to have a hard time going in a different direction.
I think they're having a hard time because the fan base would be split on that. But if the entire football community like falls head over heels about one of the rookie quarterbacks, which happens every
year.
They
will, yeah.
So it's more like you're just weighing a versus B. So
that's, you know, Caleb Williams and maybe Drake May are going to be viewed as the best quarterbacks to come out since Lawrence, maybe like two or three years, that level to pass on him for Fields. But I'm with you that this week, it's so fascinating. They are really, and we'll talk about it Thursday, but they are really set up the exact same way the Lions were a week ago, heading into week 17, where they've had a ton of momentum. In this case, it's a defensive coach whose defense is playing well, and the offense is also playing better. And if they beat the Packers to knock the Packers out of the playoffs in the final week, I agree. I think it's going to be difficult.
Very hard for them.
Jump off that feeling.
And I think it would be
progress.
It would be an incredible situation for the Bears to be in, because even if you don't think Fields is the Messiah, that like when he was drafted and they were all getting excited about it, and rightfully so, if he's just merely good, you have this incredible leverage of having the number one overall pick after having the bounty that you picked up from the Panthers last year. You can do it again with another team desperate for that number one pick, and you could really
build just, like, a move young down nucleus. To three and like take one of the receivers and get a bunch.
If they play this right, if they decide they like Fields and then play it right with in terms of the trading of the picks and who they take, they are a potential juggernaut. They're not far away from that happening.
One of the greatest like oral history, like long forms I read was when Cleveland talked themselves into not drafting Big Ben because they were obsessed with the fact that they had signed Jeff Garcia in free agency. So it's like the other side of it is that Fields just stays him. And then the GM has to sit there and be like, it's my name if we don't go get like the clear-cut number one first overall pick just because we can add assets around Justin Fields. That has to work.
It's a fascinating philosophical.
That has to work. Either way, it has to work.
Right.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
It's a fascinating philosophical discussion, which we'll be having for months, I guess. But it's like a cost-controlled quarterback in Fields who you kind of know now. He's going into year 4 and 5. You could pick up the option, and it's still pretty low money. And let's realistically put him somewhere, if we're even being a little generous, in the Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, not style-wise, but maybe you're not a top 10 quarterback for most of your career, but you're sort of on the edge of it and you're better than average. Like I kind of think that's where Fields is and where he's
at. But he also has the skill set.
Does some special
things. And he could get better.
A Josh Allen type skill set.
Right. He could get better. I just mean like the level. Like if you're quarterback 10 to 12, or would you rather have the number one overall quarterback in that contract and everything?
And I think it matters that they said, we're going to go get you a big time wide receiver. And then DJ Moore came here and was absolutely as advertised and has been a big time star for them. So he's shown, give me guys, and I'm gonna produce.
DJ Moore
them.
Was like, why are we talking about getting a different quarterback?
Right, and then we're good. Put DJ across from Marvin Harrison's son, and we are cooking. That's it. I'll stop. I think a lot of Bears fans are on that page though. Doesn't mean it's the right one though. Fans make mistakes all the time in judgment.
No, they don't.
Yeah, you're right. We're just a couple guys at the bar. All right. Any other player, by the way?
Well, this is a mid-level quarterback who's like a fringe starter. But like a week ago, like the Baker Mayfield thing was working in Tampa, a team that they're not in position to go get a number one overall pick. And there was reporting around the fact that there was mutual interest on both sides, coming from an agent, coming from someone on the team. I get it. But like after last week, talking about like 2 weeks could change things, totally flatlining against the Saints. And then if they were ever to lose to the Panthers, it's like,
yeah, that would
we're looking for a new quarterback and a new a lot of things at that point.
That's a good point.
Maybe a new head coach, maybe a new GM, maybe a new quarterback. That's Mark, I know you're under the weather, but I'm glad you brought that up because they are a team in flux. If they
it is crazy bottom out week 18. On week 18 against a Panthers. I mean, it shouldn't matter, but I think you're absolutely right. And then if he plays pretty well, you know, you make the playoffs. You maybe play well in the playoffs for a game. Heck, they might play too because they're playing the Eagles. I'm going to throw out a random name here. How about a Rams defensive tackle, Kobe Turner? Oh, who's Kobe Turner? He's someone that's not even listed
on
FanDuel as one of the top six possible players for defensive rookie of the year. This man has 9 sacks.
Do it.
He's had 2.5 in the last on Sunday, didn't he?
The pressures he has, I was looking him versus Carter. He has more pressures than Jalen Carter. I think defensive rookie of the year should be much more wide open than it is in Vegas, where it's Carter as a pretty decent sized favorite, and then Weatherspoon is in there for the Seahawks. Turner is there, the PFF grade,
Kobe.
The pressures, everything lines up. He needs to, I think, get some media momentum and maybe have another sack or two. But man, like a defensive interior guy getting 10 or 11 sacks, that would be nice. Go in defensive rookie of the year.
89th overall. I mean, you want Les Snead.
Their draft class.
Good job, my man.
He's had a year.
And Shawnee McVay. They are building that thing on the fly. All right. Any others?
That's it. They're not going to play Garrett. I would say Garrett.
I do love Kobe
It'd
Turner.
It'd be nice for Garrett.
Kobe Turner, see, that's
he's not on the hot
that's team. The value that you bring, Greg. So much value. But to drop a Kobe Turner, it's like, yeah, we talked about the quarterbacks, but there's also a nose tackle that no one's paying attention to.
That
week 18,
yeah,
it's like all on the line. What is he? Where's he at?
Defensive tackle, I guess. An end, kind of like one moving around a little bit, but yeah.
Why'd you have to correct me there? Just let that one go. Nobody would have known. Maybe like Bo Wolf would have known. But like 99.8% of people would have been like, oh, nose tackle. That's right.
Well,
now you've made a fool of me on the show. Thank you.
We're not going to be able to come back from that easily.
We're going to bust them down for that. You're an intern again. I'm sorry. We got to take it. No.
Additional crew.
What did we decide?
Additional crew in AC.
Additional crew.
That's
what they give me for like driving the director, executive producer to Target to pick up things.
No, you're way more valuable than that for
our
Flashpoint Focus. And we're going to get to it coming up after the break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Path might be harder, but shoot, you know, like I said, our goals are ahead of us. We got to get things fixed, and we got to get them fixed fast. We're not where we want to be right yet, as far as, you know, how we're playing right now, but, and how we're coaching right now, but, we got time to get it fixed, and we'll get to work, back to work, tonight and tomorrow.
Welcome back, Nick Sirianni. Whoa. The Philadelphia Eagles started 10-1, but have lost 4 of 5, coming apart at the seams, it seems, this year. Inconsistent on offense. Defense has turned into a mess with Matt Patricia being tasked to fix things up, so that tells you a lot. And now we're going to be joined by a guest who knows this team as well as anyone. He's been on the show before, a friend of the show, now with allphilly.com, ALLPHLY.com, covering the Eagles. It's Bo Wolf. Bo, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I got to say, the last time I was on, the first time was I was on paternity leave after the birth of my daughter. This was 2020, so, you know, Eagles despair sells, I guess. But I gotta thank you guys, because you know, we all like measure time in different ways. I look at my daughter growing into the, you know, the dynamo she is today. You know, just this force of nature, and all of that time, 3 years and 2 months or so, it's been in the back of my mind. Am I on the hit it and quit it one and done list?
Oh,
so now I can be a more present father.
You are definitely not.
No, we just needed the Eagles to start falling apart. Like, that's what we like.
I'm picturing, Bo, like all these great milestones of having a young child, and your wife's there, and you're just looking off into the middle distance during first birthdays and all these Christmas and all that stuff, wondering, will they call again?
Now you're there.
Maybe my resolution should have been to be a more present father, and you guys are giving me that now, because now I can put that to bed.
Well, that's what we do to help, you know, our guests, and you're back on a second visit, so you're a good guest.
And Bo, just I took a big hit to my integrity at the end of the last segment with the whole Kobe Turner nose tackle debacle. You have a connection to Turner, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I figured you were doing that on purpose. We're doing Wake Forest here. We got a Go Deeks conversation. Greg Dortch lights up the Eagles last week. We can just make that the whole segment if you want.
And you knew that he wasn't a nose tackle, right?
Well, of course. You know, all good Demon Deacons know that.
Damn it. Damn it. Tim Duncan knows. All right, let's talk Eagles. Let's do it. What's going on? What the hell? As Vince Lombardi once said, what the hell's going on out there? Is this team, and someone was asked, I wish I could remember who it is right now, is the team still believe in the direction of the head coach? And it was answered in a way like, don't even bring that up. Do you feel like there's something internally building with this team that could potentially blow? How bad is it right now with the Eagles?
I do. And I think the thing that like gave that all away was the decision to, you know, fire but not fire Sean Desai in favor of Matt Patricia. I mean, there's a saying that Fletcher Cox likes to say, which he's shared with us on our podcast, which is the calmer you are, the calmer we are, right? And so, like, longevity wise, keeping the temperature of the team wise, you want a guy who's sort of steady. And that decision at that point in the season, when you came off two blowout losses to the Niners and Cowboys, and there's some understanding that, you know, maybe they were looking at that decision at some point during the bye week. But to go from Sean Desai, keep him around and sort of like do the embarrassing thing of, you know, making him be on TV upstairs, and then bring in Matt Patricia, who does not have a great track record as a defensive coordinator. He's not calling this defense. And you set it up so that, okay, he gets to play Drew Lock, and then, you know, Tommy Cutlets, and then this Cardinals team that's very bad. And okay, the defense should look better. And then they come out and put out like the worst defensive performance of the season against the Cardinals. They gave up 4 touchdowns on those 4 second half possessions. Like, I think there is some rot. And you think about like why that decision would have been made, right? Is it either Sirianni, you know, being a little bit defensive about what is going on with the team and thinking that he has to make a change? Is it the input of Howie Roseman or Jeffrey Lurie, people from above? Whatever the answer is, neither is suggestive of longevity. And so I don't think that that means that, you know, Nick Sirianni's definitely on the hot seat when the season is over. But I think if you look at some of the, like the body language stuff that goes on the sidelines and some of the conversations that are being had about the predictability of the offense, and you look, you think back to the decision that, you know, Jeffrey Lurie made to move on from Doug Peterson after 2020, what he said was like, deserve has nothing to do with this. It's like, how do we move forward? And so like Nick Sirianni deserves to still be the head coach of the team based on how good he has been over the course of 3 years. But if they don't get the answers that they want at the end of the season, and certainly they know more about the dynamics in the locker room than we do, then like knowing the history of this organization, I don't think it's insane.
Wow. I was fascinated. It was a couple weeks back, Bo. You guys, I think it was after their second straight loss, you guys even then on your podcast titled the pod something like, should Sirianni be on the hot seat? I was like, whoa, PHOY going all hot take, like WIP over there, you and Zach.
Well,
and
I will share with you, Zach, you know, my partner, Zach Furman, he did not like that.
And I can't imagine we being too hot taking.
And
now here we are 3 weeks later.
Right. And the idea was to indulge the worst case scenario. And at that point, like the worst case scenario was like, there's no way they're going to lose three of the next four, but then they lose to the Seahawks and the Cardinals. And you see the way that things have gone. I sort of, the way that I framed it is that like this season has been like they are speed running the post 2017 collapse. And so like the first third of the season was like the 2018 season when they were still good, getting by on winning close games and like a borderline a contender. The middle part of the season was like 2019 when they were relying on all these old guys and like just okay enough to make the playoffs. And then the 2020 season was like doubling down on all these people who brought them input in the coaching staff, all of this turmoil, and all of a sudden things blow up. So, you know, my sense is like the most of the players in the locker room still like Nick Sirianni. I think there is enough of a track record of him being a very good coach. Like, I think he has been an underrated coach for the first 2 years of his career. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did last year, but like I think the long-term concern with Nick was like all of the highs and lows. Is that something that is going to last for a long time? We're seeing right now, like, is that working? I don't know. I think it's going to be like, what is your plan to fix things if this goes as bad as it looks like it may go? And if they don't get the answers they like, remember when they fired Doug Peterson, it was like a week after the end of the season. They said that he was coming back and then they sort of went back and changed their mind. We'll see. We'll sort of see what happens.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, to have the moment of complete meltdown happen against Jonathan Gannon's Arizona Cardinals team where they controlled the ball for 40 minutes. That's unusual for an Eagles defense in our time doing the show or as an Eagles fan in general. And Shane Steichen is coach of the year material in Indianapolis. So part of the job of a head coach is to find the best people to take over when coordinator absences occur. I mean, I always thought that, like, if anything, Brian Johnson, who had been tagged as Jalen Hurts's, you know, friend and coach and mentor going back to high school, that seemed about as seamless as it could be. And it's not been the case. Hurts has been a different quarterback this year. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in some of these press conferences, there seems to be almost coded language of concern about the team in general. And like Hurts a year ago was like the leader of the year. And everyone talked about how he unified the entire locker room. Where are the players in all this right now in terms of like disenfranchisement? Because I feel like on a weekly basis, AJ Brown is melting down. Hurts seems gloomy. It just seems like the energy around the Eagles has bottomed out.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like vibes wise, things are not great right now. AJ Brown has declined to talk to reporters after each of the past two games. He didn't talk last week. He said, you know, if I've got nothing nice to say, I'm not going to say anything at all. The Jalen Hurts of it all, I have sort of made the case that like the team takes its personality from Jalen more so than Nick over the past couple of years. I don't think that Jalen has been the problem, but I do think like if we take a step back, it is fair to say like, okay, the degree of difficulty for the season is very difficult. There's a reason that, you know, teams who lose in the Super Bowl do not often get back. There's rest to it. There is like the adjustment of expectations and dealing with guys in the locker room. As you said, they lost both coordinators. you know, we made such a big deal last offseason about this was the first time that Jalen Hurts was going to get his second season in a row with the same offensive play caller for the first time since he was in high school. Okay, like just because he knows Brian Johnson doesn't mean that that's going to be a seamless transition this year. But like, you know, if I'm AJ Brown and I am this ultra competitive guy and I want us to win more than anything, and I know that one of the best ways for us to win is for me to get the ball, and I'm not getting the ball enough, or we're like the play calling on offense or the structure is not taking advantage of me and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert enough, I would probably be upset too. And I think that the second to last possession of the loss to the Cardinals was sort of telling here, right? Because the defense had been getting totally run over all game long. You know that the defense doesn't stand a good chance of stopping the Cardinals here. So Jonathan Gannon, with like 5.5 minutes left, makes the what I think was kind of a shrewd decision to go for the onside kick, knowing that if you don't get it, you're sort of baiting the Eagles into being a little bit conservative there to settle for the field goal because they're already within range. And the Eagles get the first play, they get a nice completion to AJ Brown for like 15 yards. The next play is a called run, and Jordan Mailata gets called for holding. So now it's first and 20. And there's like, you know, 4 minutes left. You should still go for a touchdown. This is a bad Cardinals defense. And you've got AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, a very good offensive line, and this quarterback you paid all this money to. And instead they call Jalen Hurts run, read option, and then a screen to Kenneth Gainwell on 3rd and 19 that gets Devontae Smith injured as a blocker. And like, I'm sorry,
it gets everyone booing as the team takes the lead with 3 minutes left. I don't know if I've ever heard that booing before. It's booed literally as the team takes the lead with a couple minutes left. That was kind of amazing.
Right. And if you put all this money into those players and you can't trust them to go win the game against a team that is like incentivized to lose, then what are we doing?
It's a great call because who knows Nick Sirianni's tendencies better than Jonathan Gannon? They were together every day, and you're right. He baited him into that, and then sure enough, it ended up getting him beat. Now, you also, one of the things I keep going back to, because there's been obviously a lot of studying of what's wrong with the offense, why hasn't been consistent, but they invested 4 first-round picks in that defensive front, and you know, to watch what the Cardinals are doing, and we all like James Conner. He's overcome a lot. He's a solid running back. And Michael Carter, I remember back in his Jets days early on, he was a guy that had some juice to him, but had been off the radar for a couple of years. What they were able to do to the just running over this expensive, high talent front of the Eagles is another sign of what's gone wrong with the season. Like, can you help make sense of what has happened up front that was supposed to be the strength of their unit?
It's a huge question, and it's the biggest problem with the Eagles this season. I think it's the biggest reason they are where they are is that the defensive line has underperformed. You know, we had Brian Baldinger on our show today, you know, your boy, and he's talking about how Jordan Davis is out there looking like out of shape, not trying. Like, why is he even active? Like, we're talking about the guy they drafted one spot over Kyle Hamilton, by the way. Like, maybe there is a bit of a diminishing returns to investing everything in the defensive line, but it's not just Jordan Davis. These guys are underperforming. And one thing that is on my radar about like the Sean Desai experience here is the Eagles organization has for so long been very heavy about their defensive line rotations. And the, you know, the position coaches at defensive tackle and outside linebacker are the same as they were last year. Nick Sirianni is the same. Howie Roseman is the same. And the only different variable there is Sean Desai. And they were playing these guys way more than they had in years past over the first half of the season. And it's possible that that was a source of contention. You know, Josh Sweat has played already like 300 more snaps than he did a season ago. And if you were to tell me that this looks like a defensive line that is exhausted, that is what they sort of look like. But that's no excuse for, as you said, like the defense is built around this defensive line having all of these former first round picks and high priced players. Meanwhile, you got Hassan Reddick dropping in coverage like 7 times last week. It doesn't seem like they're making use of their resources. And there haven't even been that many injuries. Like, there have been some injuries. N'Kobe Dean, who was they were counting on to be their main linebacker, is out for the season. They've had a few injuries. You know, Darius Slay has missed the past few games, but it's no excuse. I mean, they have been like the worst third down defense on third and long in the league by a mile. It's sort of hard to explain.
Right. Wait, there's so much talk about Hurts, and then I look at it and I'm like, he's still played like a top 10 quarterback. They have the number 8 offense in the league DVOA. They have the 28th defense with all those resources. That is the story. You've had this theory, like their coordinator was supposed to be Fangio, and somehow That got messed up. I actually don't even understand. It was supposed to be Fangio, but the Jonathan Gannon tampering case with Arizona somehow all led to that. Like, what happened there? And do you think, like, if this goes really bad, like, they either lose Sunday or they win Sunday, but then they lose the first round and it's ugly. So this is a two-part question. The Fangio thing, just explain to me. And then do you think things get blown up? Like where do you see the blowing up happen? Because front office also might change. Alec Hallaby is supposedly getting interviews, you know, with other organizations. Like, a lot could be changing here with this team.
Yeah, I think Ben Standing at The Athletic had the rundown of Commanders candidates. He had Hallaby there. I think he's been linked to the Chargers as well. Well, first of all, the Fangio thing. You know, he was in the building last year. All season he was sort of out of the building as a consultant, but they were sort of had him on retainer, and then they brought him on like full force in the playoffs to sort of have him under contract. And listen, it's not totally dissimilar to them having Matt Patricia this year. Like, he was sort of their plan B, knowing, like, when they, Jeffrey Lurie once said that they, in 2021, the first year that they were renting Jonathan Gannon, you know, they knew that he was going to get a head coach job at some point. So they had a plan B in Vic Fangio. And, like, we know that there is this disconnect with the Cardinals because they had that trade, as you guys have talked about, because of the tampering. And so Fangio gets, like, offered the Dolphins job around the time of the NFC Championship game, but he doesn't take it because the reporting is that he was sort of expecting to come to Philadelphia. But Gannon doesn't talk about how likely it is for him to go to Arizona, and maybe he doesn't know. Still, for all intents and purposes, the Eagles expected that if Gannon left, Fangio was going to be their defensive coordinator, and Fangio has said as much, that he was expecting that as well. And so then all of a sudden you get in the situation where you've got to reach for somebody else, and they go for Sean Desai, who is the Fangio disciple. And then in April or May, they bring in Matt Patricia, I guess, as a backup plan. And I don't know. It's hard to know exactly whether that decision to change things midseason was a Sirianni decision or a Howie Roseman or a Jeffrey Lurie decision, but it's indicative of they were never really all in, I think. Setting aside, like, putting him on TV, which is just, like, you're sort of just embarrassing the guy. It's hard to get over. and then if things go really badly, if they lose in the first round, you know, on the road to an NFC South team, I mean, I think that it's a difficult conversation between Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni about what do you need to change. And I think they obviously need to make wholesale changes on defense. My understanding is everybody in the building really likes Matt Patricia. And, like, to me, from the outside, it's a hard sell to sort of hand things over to him. But maybe they're thinking that if he gets to build the defense the way he wants, that then it changes something. On offense, I think they need, at the very least, fresh perspective. And you saw them do this. They try to do this in 2020. They brought in, like, Rich Scangarello to be the, like, Kyle Shanahan whisperer, like, married to the run game and the passing game. One thing you see about this Eagles offense, and it goes to the lack of creativity with it. Like, they run motion at the lowest rate in the league. There are no real easy buttons. They're terrible against zero blitzes. They need fresh perspective. And so maybe that's, you know, Nick Sirianni saying, yeah, I agree with that. I need to get back to the drawing board. Who are some people I know around the league? It's not a new problem to have, like, the brain drain of backfilling your coaching staff after losing your top lieutenants. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to bring somebody else in. Again, like, deserve doesn't necessarily have anything to do with it. I think if there is real dissension in the locker room between the players and Nick Sirianni, you know, Howie Roseman is going to choose the players over the coaches. And I think that what we know, like, of a decade of watching the way the organization is run, is that the reason they think they are successful is because of what they do, you know, personnel wise. I think that of the three most important people in the organization, Sirianni, Hertz, and Roseman, Sirianni is the least important in Jeffrey Lurie's mind.
Well, Dom is first. And then
naturally.
Listen, this losing streak coincides with
Curse
Dom.
Of Dom. Yeah. Curse of Dom. I floated it. By the way, there's a different team seemingly every January that's, like, having the same conversation. Man, we really like Matt. Like, he's a good guy around. He's a friendly guy. I don't know if we need to have him around, though.
Well, meanwhile, like, there's been this long feud between Darius Slay and Matt Patricia. Like, you meet Darius Slay the first day you meet him. The first thing you find out is he doesn't want to be called Darius. Call him Slay. The second thing you find out is he hates Matt Patricia. And then they bring in Matt Patricia. Now, they say that, you know, they have mended those fences. Slay says everything is fine. You know, they hug on the field before the game. But like it goes sure. to tell you that
it like, all started. You know,
is every side of the organization caring about every other side?
Yeah. Right. No, he calls him Darius. That's why it happened. And I'll put you on the spot before we say goodbye and check out Bo at allphilly.com, where they do great coverage of the team. You mentioned it. They're most likely, unless the Cowboys gag, which is certainly always possible, they're going to be on the road against the NFC South winner the first weekend of the playoffs. Let's say things go sideways. Baker and the Bucks 31, Eagles 17, all sorts of breakdowns on both sides of the ball. All that bad body language, it all comes out during the late stages of the game. The pressers are pretty woeful in terms of what people are saying. The energy's terrible. Percentage chance Nick Sirianni is the head coach gets fired after an event like that. Cataclysmic. Flashpoint focus it for us. Percentage.
You're going to get me in trouble with Zach, I think. I'm going to go in that situation.
Yes, that exact situation.
I mean, he doesn't listen to this show.
31-17 Bucks.
I'm going 60-40.
Whoa.
New head coach.
He go.
I mean, that's a lot of ifs to get to that point.
We won't. Yeah. We're not going to pull it for social. Pull it for social.
No.
No, we won't do that to you, Bo. But I just wanted to ask you that.
I'm giving you the same odds, Bo, if... what we thought might be an annual occurrence, we have a tennis rematch at this Super Bowl if the Eagles somehow snick in. I don't know if Dan even knows this, but me
now
and
you're
Bo,
playing tennis with people
and,
at the Super Bowl?
Me and Bo, it was probably the most fun I had in
also,
Arizona.
Also, Greg wouldn't bring it up unless he won. So
no, I lost. Bo took care of me in a big spot.
Wolf.
Big server. I could still move, but the lack of tennis playing over the last 20-some-odd years came back to haunt me, and he took care of me.
Well, you're used to taking down Walker, right? It's a little bit different.
Greg often has stated he was like a tennis champion where he was from.
My team.
So
won
what does that say about Bo?
He's a big hitter. Big hitter.
It lays out the truth.
Wow.
And I Greg, think I think I might actually be in the Super Bowl this year. I think we're doing shows there for all PHLY, so
okay.
We might get a rematch whether the Eagles are gone or not.
Maybe we can do it. Though.
I think I'm gonna watch. I would need a couple drinks. But I feel like we could commentate.
I've not played
that.
Tennis since.
Could be a podcast.
Which is not
I mean,
a great
we clearly weren't invited
me.
To watch the first time, so
right.
This is another one of
yes,
Greg's secret Super Bowl week. You know,
I'm sure you were going to get an Uber on Saturday morning out to some like old
tough.
Folks home where we some. Or some
yeah, it was
a great
play.
Setup, but it was.
I would not have
great.
Saturday is going to be.
Meanwhile,
a tough
my 3-year-old's making all this noise upstairs. I'm sure you can hear. She's probably wondering, are you going to finally pay attention to me now?
Right. Appreciate me, Daddy. Go do that, Bo. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
See you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Another big performance from Bo Wolf. Never under consideration for Hit It and Quit It. Just we waited for the right moment to bring him back.
But we're so vague about who's on the bad list that if
with
you haven't
reason.
Been brought back, it
it's
would
true.
Go through your mind.
He's in a tough spot because Eagles are one of my adopted teams. Colleen kind of handles the Eagles situation,
yep.
So it's tough. It's tough to break in there.
I think if I was playing singles with one of the hosts of this show, singles tennis, mm-hmm. like I'd assume I'm on the good list.
Yeah.
Well, but if Bo listens to the show, he knows I'm not the one making that list. Ultimately, I can contribute, but
what does that mean?
You're making the list.
I don't make the list. Listen, if you are
who's making the list, Mark?
I mean, I would say
I have a voice.
There is very little controversy between us about who's on that.
That
list.
Would yes. be true.
There
that,
is consensus.
That's true.
Absolutely true.
There is consensus. We're not going to be.
There's
bullied.
Never been a one where you guys like, no, he's good. It's like, no,
right.
He gone. No,
right.
Like usually we're
and
on
the
same
is,
page.
It's a short list.
Very short.
I could think of one in particular.
Yes.
By the way, I figured out what it is about.
I don't know which one you mean because I can think of two. All right, go ahead.
I know what you're talking about. The thing about it is, because I want to make sure we're on the same page with in terms of credits for production on Flashpoint Focus.
That's imperative. Yeah.
I think what it is that we're bumping up against, Sestog, is that Greg really is important to it. And it's almost like to take it and frame it in like a TV show. He's like the talent. He's like a real talent in the writer's room. Mm. But there's also he's kind of erratic. He's like. Very confident, very kind of shoots from the lip and gets some people uncomfortable. There's been a couple of inter-office romances that went sideways. He
well,
crashed
wait a second here.
He crashed a Porsche after the holiday party one year, you know, and there's just like he's such a talent, and we want to promote him and keep him within the enterprise.
We do.
But there's always just these things in the back of our mind, like we don't want to create a monster or feed the monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's when you give Greg a little bit of power, you start to become concerned with what can unfold at that point. And, you know, we sort of see it in various tangible ways, even with this production.
I'm a weirdo.
But you know what I mean, Greg? Like, it's not personal. It's just I want to make sure, like, this is such a valuable property.
You're threatened.
A little bit.
You're threatened.
I think
you're a little erratic.
You're using a guiding hand, Dan, like a fatherly guiding hand. You don't want...
We see it.
Yeah.
We see it. We see what's happening, and we're like, can we control this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know the answer to that.
Look, he's about to say something else annoying.
You're like you're Officer Winslow on whatever that show was. You don't want Urkel taking over, you know? You don't want to become the Urkel show. Okay, that's a wrap.
So you framed yourself as Steve Urkel here?
Family matters. Family matters.
Carl Winslow got banged, that actor. Because he was coming off Die Hard, and they were like, oh, we got a vehicle for you. You're going to host like this very family-friendly sitcom on ABC. And he's like, that sounds great. And he becomes the star until Urkel shows up, and Greg has positioned himself as the Urkel. Did I do that? And all of a sudden, it was Urkel, Urkel merch, and everything hung on Urkel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, so I'm not a religious watcher of that show.
It's been a while.
You want to know who you are?
Did he not appear like early in the show? Like, did he come in?
Urkel was initially would show up every once in a while. And no, you are not, because I know you sometimes get worried. You're not the, they had one daughter that just disappeared on that show. That's not you.
How did she disappear?
I always like that.
She's gone. One day she was gone.
They're just like, this isn't working.
It's either the grandma or the daughter. Someone one day was just gone.
Written out the script.
Any Family Matters watchers behind the glass?
They were not even born when that show was on. I mean, they don't know. They probably just waited. They're probably like looking at their clocks right now.
All right. That's it. Anything else?
Good show. Got the big Thursday preview.
It was fine. It was a B-. B-, I would say. Really good, though. Strong B-. B? Nah, I think it was good. B-. That seems fair. Good?
It's fair. I mean...
Unfair. You're saying it's unfair.
I think that's the level we've been at.
That's our level.
11 years. Why go high?
Why go like for
said,
today?
We changed nothing from last year to this year. So.
All right. Until, let's see, what is today?
Today's Tuesday.
Tuesday. We'll see you on Thursday with the Week 18 preview. Hopefully, another B-. Till then, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility